Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today we are going to read more from the NALC Constitution. We are going to finish the main body of the Constitution, which will be Articles 19 through 22. And then the next episode that after that will be the Constitution, the part of the Constitution that governs subordinate and federal branches, which would be your local branches. And I'm really looking forward to digging into that one. But first, we have to get through this, so why don't I get to it? Article 19, Referendum and Amendments to the Constitution. Section 1, the Constitution and laws of the National Association cannot be altered or amended at a convention or special meeting except by a majority vote of all members present and voting, provided that any proposition or amendment which has been approved, disapproved, adopted, or rejected by a referendum vote of the membership cannot be approved, disapproved, adopted, or rejected except by a referendum vote of the membership. There's good language here, which I want to point out. Like, if they say that it has to be approved by a majority of members present, then if you have a bunch of people who don't vote, then you'll never get to a majority. Say there's 1,000 people in the room. To get to a majority, you have to get 501 people to vote yes. But here it says by a majority vote of all members present and voting. So if only 600 of the 1,000 people cast a vote, then you only need 301 in order to get a majority of the people voting. So the language is important, and they've obviously given thought to that and put the proper language in here. Good job, us. All right, section two. Oh, actually, I'll digress a little further, because that's one of the problems that people run into when they propose these rules or amendments or, you know, things that they, action items for the convention. In many cases, the executive committee will vote will recommend disapproval, and it's simply because of a language problem. Because the way it's worded, whoever wrote it, you know, didn't go through it with a fine-toothed comb, and they have some sort of error in there or some wording that's going to wind up causing a problem. All right, section two. Oh, and then the executives will say, like, hey, if the maker is here and they agree to change this wording, then we'll change our recommendation to approve. All right. Section 2. Proposed amendments to the Constitution of the NALC, the Constitution for the Government of Subordinate and Federal Branches, and the Constitution for the Government of State Associations may be presented in writing in the manner herein set forth. A. By any member of a branch in good standing, signed by them at a regular meeting of the branch, providing the proposal is endorsed by 2/3 of the members present and voting at the meeting. So that's how a rank and file person gets that stuff moved forward. They're going to introduce it at the branch votes, and if they pass it by 2/3 vote, boom, it's in. It goes to, it becomes an officially proposed amendment. All right, and B, by any member of the NALC Executive Council, signed by them at a regularly called meeting of the Executive Council, provided the proposal is endorsed by 2/3 of the members of the Executive Council present and voting at the meeting. Proposals thus qualifying shall be forwarded to the National Secretary-Treasurer in duplicate, each on a separate sheet of paper, at least 60 days prior to the convention, signed by the branch president and secretary, and in the case of the Executive Council, by the chairperson and secretary thereof. These proposed amendments shall be printed in the official journal of this association at least 30 days prior to the National Convention. All proposed amendments to the Constitution and laws shall designate the article and section to be amended and shall be referred to the Executive Council and be reported by them before being acted upon by the Convention. Said word acted to be interpreted as meaning, this is a weird sentence. Said word acted to be interpreted as meaning altering, amending, or changing in any manner whatsoever by a majority vote of the convention. So, yeah, whatever it is that you're proposing, it needs a majority vote at the convention. Section 3. any resolution or amendment which shall have been passed at a meeting of the association shall, upon the written request of not less than 10% of the branches, aggregating not less than 10% of the membership of the National Association of Letter Carriers, as shown by the records in the office of the National Secretary Treasurer on January 1st of the current year, be referred to all the branches of this association for their approval or rejection, a majority of all votes cast being necessary to repeal said amendment or resolution. So there you go. Some resolution passes or an amendment passes. You don't like it. You got to get a bunch of branches together and it can be repealed, but it's a process. Section 4. This national association in convention assembled may, by a majority vote, refer any resolution or amendment to the Constitution to the various branches for a vote. Section 5. A. Propositions submitted for a referendum vote of the membership may be initiated by any branch in good standing or by the NALC Executive Council, provided that the proposal receives the endorsement of at least 10% of the branches having an aggregate membership of at least 15% of the members of the National Association of Letter Carriers, as shown by the records of the National Secretary Treasurer on January 1st of the current year, said branches to be located in not less than 15 states. The endorsement of any proposal shall be by vote of the branches signed by the branch president and secretary at least 6 months prior to a biennial meeting of the National Association. So guys, to get this stuff to the convention, it's a process and you got to get ahead of it and, you know, work on getting it passed at other branches and so on. All right. B. Such petition shall, after being filed and verified, be printed in the current issue of the Postal Record. No more than 4 pages in each of the next 2 succeeding issues of the Postal Record shall be allowed for arguments pro and con on the proposed amendment or proposition. Such arguments are to be in the hands of the National Secretary Treasurer not later than the 5th day of the 2nd month following the printing of the petition. The call for a vote on said amendment or proposition shall be signed by the National President and National Secretary Treasurer, and the amendment or proposition so stated that a yes or no vote can be registered. All right, so this is how you get things done by referendum rather than getting them done at the convention. Most of this business, I'm sure, is just handled at the convention. I can't remember anything coming to me by referendum. But there is a process. If you need something done and you can't wait for that convention, if it's important enough, get 10% of the branches and at least 15% of the states and you can go through this process. C. Immediately after the arguments pro and con appear in both issues of the Postal Record, the National Secretary Treasurer shall furnish separate ballots in sufficient numbers to each branch secretary for distribution, and it shall then be the duty of the secretary of each branch to solicit the returns of the ballots, which shall be secret, with the vote mark thereon. The result of said vote shall be sent to the National Secretary Treasurer within 60 days following the receipt of the blank ballots. All ballots shall be the property of the branch after being voted and shall be filed by the secretary for a period of not less than 1 year. I don't know if you picked up on that little pause during that sentence, but I burped and luckily it wasn't noisy, but dude, there is this dip from like a chip dip, you know, from Trader Joe's. It's called Everything and the Elote. And it's based on the elote corn that's sold by street vendors out west. It is so freaking good. But dude, that burp just brought up this elote that went right into the microphone. And you guys are so lucky that this only goes in your ear holes and not in your nose holes. Because dude, that burp came from the soul. All right, so anyway. The result of the vote by city and branch shall be printed in the Postal Record. And if a majority of the members voting... if a majority of the members voting favor said amendment or proposition, it shall become immediately operative, unless otherwise specified, provided that not less than 50% of the total membership of the National Association of Letter Carriers shall have voted on the proposed amendment or proposition submitted for a referendum. Wait, provided that not less than 50% of the total membership, oh my God, dude, forget it. It's never going to happen, because not only do you have to get it pre-approved by all this number of branches, but then at least half of the total members of the NALC have to vote on it, and then you have to get a majority. Dude, getting 50% of our members to vote on something, good luck with that. All right, D, I guess that's why we just do all this business at the convention. After a proposition or amendment has been once placed before the membership of the NALC for a vote, it shall not again be submitted for referendum action within 1 year. So you can't just keep resubmitting the same thing. You got to give us a break. Section 6, all amendments to this Constitution shall, unless otherwise provided for, take effect immediately. And thus ends Article 19. We move on to Article 20, effects of declaration of invalidity. If any provision of this Constitution or the Constitution for the government of subordinate and federal branches or the Constitution for the government of state associations shall be declared invalid or inoperative by any competent government authority, the Executive Council shall have the authority to suspend the operation of such provision during the period of its invalidity and to substitute in its place a provision which will meet the objections to the validity and which will accord to the fullest extent practicable with the objectives of the original provision. Whenever the Executive Council exercises the powers granted herein, notice of the constitutional change made shall be given in the postal record. If any provision of this Constitution, before we get to this next part. So this is a really smart thing because most contracts or many contracts have a provision called severability, where if one part of the contract is invalid or flawed, it can ruin the whole contract. So with severability, it says, okay, if this part's messed up, we just set aside that part, but the rest of the contract is still in force. Well, this gives even more flexibility to the union because it says, hey, if there's something wrong with this part of the contract, we'll have the authority to fix that part of the contract and we'll just go forward with that new language. All right. So, if any provision of this Constitution, the Constitution for the government of subordinate and federal branches, or the Constitution for the government of state associations shall be declared inoperative or invalid by any competent government authority, the remainder of that Constitution or the application of such provision to persons or circumstances other than those as to which it has been held invalid shall not be affected thereby. And so there you go. There's the severability. So, yeah, even if that part's not valid, the rest of the Constitution still holds. And that ends Article 20. Moving on, Article 21, Order of Business, National Convention. Section 1A, on the second day of the convention, Tuesday, constitutional amendments shall be the first order of business. No other business shall be brought before the delegates until all proposed constitutional changes have been voted upon by the delegates who shall be in executive session. This did not happen at the last convention because we had other business, and the body always reigns supreme, even if that means invalidating our own rules and deciding upon different rules. So that's what happened. It'll be interesting next time to go to a more normal convention because this one is the only one that I had attended. All right, B, on the third day of the convention, Wednesday, or right after the proposed constitutional changes have been voted on, the retirees' resolutions and any other business pertaining to retirees or retirement shall be taken care of. All right, got to get those retirement people in before a Matlock comes on. Article 22, health plan members. Section 1. Oh, and this is the last article of this part of the Constitution. Section 1. Notwithstanding the provision in Article 2, there shall be a health plan type of membership which shall include any active or retired employee of the United States government and of the District of Columbia government, except a non-supervisory employee of the United States Postal Service and supervisory employees in the Postal Service. I think I might have read that sentence wrong. Which shall include any active or retired employee of the government and the District of Columbia government, except, okay. Well, anyway, there's a health plan. In addition, health plan membership under this article shall be available to the following categories of retirees from the Postal Service. A, non-supervisory employees who were not regular members at the time of retirement. B, non-supervisory employees who were regular members at the time of retirement but subsequently did not maintain membership under Article 2. And C, employees who were in supervisory status at the time of retirement. Section 2, a health plan member shall be a member only for the purpose of enrollment in the NALC health benefit plan and shall not have a voice or vote in any of the affairs of the NALC or its branches, nor be eligible to hold any office in or attend meetings of the NALC or its branches, nor be entitled to any services provided by the NALC or its branches to other members except services and benefits provided by the NALC health benefit plan to its enrollees. Now I get it. So these categories in Section 1 were people who aren't regular NALC members but can be members only strictly for purposes of getting that sweet, sweet health benefit plan. Section 3, each health plan member who is a supervisory employee in the Postal Service must pay full national and state per capita taxes, got to pay your union dues, in addition to the prevailing dues of the branch, which has jurisdiction over the zip code area where the member actually works. Each health plan member who is not a supervisory employee of the Postal Service shall pay directly to the National Association per capita tax of $36 per annum or fraction thereof, payable on the date enrollment in the NALC health benefit plan is effective and on each January 1st thereafter during continuance of the enrollment. Health plan membership shall be terminated if per capita tax payment is not made within 60 days of the due date. Section 4. A. For the advancement of the NALC health benefit plan, $12 of the per annum per capita tax paid by a health plan member shall be paid by the National Association to the branch, which has jurisdiction over the zip code area where the member works, or if retired, the zip code area where the retired member lives. B. $2 of the per annum per capita tax paid by a health plan member shall be paid by the National Association to the NALC health benefit plan. C. $5 of the per annum per capita tax. I'm reading a little fast here. It's per annum, which means per year. So $5 of the per annum per capita tax paid by a health plan member shall be paid by the National Association to the State Association in the state in which the member works, or if retired, the State Association in the state in which the retired member lives. All right, and that is the end of the national part of the Constitution. This is a nice, short, easy episode, and boy, am I excited about what's coming up. But we'll get to that when we get to it. For now, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your feedback. If you have any feedback, any questions, suggestions, whatever, classesofmail@gmail.com, and I will catch y'all next time.